That was at the tail end, I was going to say. Number two, he gassed the Iranians, okay, at the end of the Iran-Iraq war, and caused enormous damage in that respect. Anybody who uses chemical weapons against his own people and against his neighbor is pretty horrendous. Number three, he invaded Kuwait, just took over a country and incorporated it as part of Iraq, against the most basic principle of international law, the most basic principle, and, you know, clearly an outrage to any kind of standards of decency. Number four, we know that he has relentlessly pursued nuclear weapons and chemical weapons and biological weapons for an enormous arsenal of weapons of mass destruction. And number five, we just know that the regime is just one of the worst regimes in terms of torture, in terms of eliminating people. Stories constantly that he has a meeting of his cabinet and someone asks the president a question and he pulls out his revolver and shoots the person right there during the cabinet meeting. Constantly, the most insecure job in the world is to be one of his intelligence officers or leaders of an intelligence service, unless you're related by blood, like his sons are, obviously, because you'll end up fried in acid before long. You just hear these stories, you read these reports, and you realize that this is just horrendous, horrendous person.
Okay, we have a number of hands that have been up. I've been trying to follow as much as possible. You've been waiting for a long time. What's happening is that every hand is now a two finger. So that rule is not working very well. But if you can be brief with your questions, then we can move around and get as many people as possible.
I'll try to be brief with my answers, too.
Okay, you, and then I've got to move over here.
The question I have is that given America's history of propping up a whole lot of dictators, Noriega, Batista, Pinochet, all of these, where their own interest has been making sure that American business interests have been protected, not whether or not they've been good for the people, not whether or not the dictators killed their own citizens because they got in the way, only whether the American business interests have been protected. Why should we believe now when you come in and say, we want to help the people of Iraq, we want to help the people of Iran? Mm-hmm.
If you believe your premise, the answer is you shouldn't. Shouldn't believe this. I think a Marxist premise like that is just mistaken. No, it is. It's exactly Marxist. No. I'm saying that as a PhD in political theory. I mean, that is the interpretation. No, let me finish, and then you can finish. That is the interpretation Karl Marx gives. That what drives any interest, especially foreign policy, is a business interest and a commercial interest. And that is the whole dictate. It is very hard to think to yourself about the two major wars that the United States has waged since World War II, Korea and Vietnam, that those are driven by business interests. It's just impossible to think a devastated country like Korea, with a per capita income at that time of under $1,000 a year, was a gold mine for American business. It is very hard to think that Vietnam, a country that had a per capita income even less than that during the whole Vietnam, and now has been without war for, 25 years, is a gold mine for American business. There's no American. I was over in Vietnam with Don Rumsfeld going around the country, I'd say, 4 or 5 years ago. Almost impossible to see an American businessman there.
What about Nike?
Why is that? Why is that? Because you can't make any money there. You make money in developed countries, where there's a good economy, where there's a market, where there's an investment, where you can use high tech. That's where you make money these days. So it's just incredible to me. But if your premise is that the United States doesn't do anything in the world but for business reasons, that's not my experience in 15 years in government, but if that's your premise, then you shouldn't believe anything we say.
Can you explain why the U.S. got involved in Guatemala 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, it seems to me Guatemala is no gold mine for American business, that's for sure. I mean, it is, you can say, oh my God, all the riches of the world of America are built on the back of Guatemalan economy. I mean, you know, To have a Marxist economic interpretation of going into Guatemala is a very far-fetched interpretation. Why did they do it 40 years ago? 40 years ago, the idea of American foreign policy was quite simple. And in many places it was well applied, in some places it was not well applied, okay? But it was quite simple. That there was one enormous danger in the world, and that was the danger of totalitarian communism. Run, you can laugh, okay?
Who did they replace him with?
Let me just finish, okay?
We're going to move on.
Totalitarian communism. And that danger meant that people who were living under communism not only were unfree in any sense of the word, but people living under communism were a threat to American values and American society. Why? Because they were aligned with the Soviet Union itself. All right. And you can say, well, that was ridiculous. We shouldn't have believed that. Please, anybody who thinks that's ridiculous, and I understand that view, and I've been talking about it now for 30 years of my life, go to talk to somebody in Russia, talk to somebody in Eastern Europe who's lived under communism. And you will find out that Ronald Reagan is the most hallowed saint of Eastern Europe. And they know what communism is firsthand. And I understand on academic campuses in the West, it is very hard to say, it doesn't make any difference between communism and freedom. But that's fine, and it's nice theory, and Marxism still lives. But the fact is, go talk to the people who for 40 years lived under communism, ask them if there's any difference, and just hear the howls from them about how life is different.
Okay, I'm going to take back the room here. Some people are now having three and four fingers. It's a new system that's developing. But this young lady, then you, and then her, and then I'll move over to this side.
Just a comment here when we're talking about Afghanistan. I just want to make it a little bit more clear. I just want to make it a little bit more clear that it doesn't matter what the legalities are when you change a government around completely. Say it's legal to walk around in the streets topless, which it is in some towns around here. It's not like people do that. It's not like it would be acceptable, and it's not like that person would necessarily be safe. So you have to keep in mind that not only do the rules need to change, but the way of thought, and you can't force a thought change on a people that's been thinking a certain way for 100 years. So that's why it's kind of hard to agree with you when you say they can do this and they can do that. Well, on paper you can do things, but it doesn't mean that you can live that way and survive well in a certain society. The other thing, in your comment about Vietnam, Guatemala, and Korea, it doesn't matter what their per capita income is. We don't necessarily just go after people because they have resources and money. That's a really good driving force, but think of it this way. Anytime a country mobilizes their army, anytime you are going to use weapons, that is business. You're pushing out oil. You're pushing out weapons. You're turning that all off. That's a lot of money that goes into there. That's a lot of business that goes into there. So when you say that it's not sort of somewhat business-driven, it's hard to agree with you there as well. And then the third thing I wanted to say, I'm sorry, it's kind of long, is you had your third step to U.S. security that you were kind of supporting. You mentioned that you wanted to remove or change the regimes in Iraq, and hopefully it would follow with Iran. Okay, I'm, you know, kind of neutral. I'm from the States, I'm kind of neutral, so. But, you know, if I were sitting there in the Middle East and somebody was telling me, you know, we gotta go in there, we gotta make this, we gotta change the regimes. I'm sorry, but that's a very, you know, sort of globalist US perspective. You're not seeing what they care about and what they feel. And you're sitting there telling me that the hatred, the threat and hostility towards the Israelis will be taken care of by changing those regimes. I think the hatred, threat, and hostility, if it does indeed change, which I doubt, because the issues there have been